With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody. It's Brian Gittings here, middle name Dennis, or if you're in France, as I've said before, it's Denise, or Denny, I don't know what it is, but welcome to episode 40. We've hit the 4-0, the magnificent 4-0, and I think in this episode David is 40, so it's a lovely clash of, lovely clash of 40s, I guess. There's a magpie. Just seen a magpie flying away from me, much like everything else in my life. So what am I doing? What can I talk about? I'm going out to Edinburgh in 3.5 weeks. I'm regretting it. I put on Twitter the other day, I'm regretting it. Someone said, well, no one's holding a gun to your head, mate. You don't have to do it. And he's right. I don't have to do it, but I've paid the money, the registration money. It's all ready to go. It's a huge venue. It's an 800 seater venue. So it's probably the biggest venue I've ever played. So it's 800 seater. Oh no, it's not an 800 seater. It's a 70 seater. That's where my career's at. It's a 70 seater. It's not even seats in it. We're gonna have to drag chairs into it. It's a Brazilian nightclub. It's a tiny Brazilian nightclub. That's where I'm playing. It's a tiny 70-seater Brazilian nightclub. Except there won't be any Brazilian dancers. It'll just be me. So it's the worst Brazilian nightclub you can think of. That's where I'm going to be in Edinburgh. So come along. I think my show starts on the 2nd of August, all the way to about the 26th, 27th. Definitely come and see me in the 3rd week, because I will be... I think I'm going to have a breakdown. Either that or I'm going to get a terrible illness. So come and see me around that moment. And it should be fun. I'll have no interest in the show. I'll have no interest in the audience. I'll have no interest in my hygiene. It'll be an awful, awful time. So come and see me around the 3rd week, I reckon. But yeah, so thanks so much for downloading and giving. And please, thank you for leaving your like. Quite a few people have left some likes on iTunes and left some comments. That's really nice. And it really helps the podcast. It gets us into the top 5,000 podcasts in Sussex. And that's what we're aiming for. We're nearly there. So thanks for supporting. Again, if you want to get some extra tidbits, then become a patron. Go to Patreon, Brian Gittings and Friends, and we're always uploading newer podcasts with extra bits and pieces. So if you fancy it, go along there. So without further ado, here is the guest this week, Tom Basden. Wonderful Tom Basden. And I hope you enjoy it, and see you up in Edinburgh. Or probably definitely not. Okay, bye-bye. Hello everybody, and welcome to the Brian Gittings and Friends podcast. And we might have hit episode 40, David.
Wow, the big 4-0.
Wow, just kill the old
40.
40! You're 40, aren't you?
I am. It's a ripe age. Me and the episodes are the same number. We've come into unison.
Yeah, una.
Son.
Okay. That's David Edwards talking, and this episode your nickname is going to be the Blonde
Battleship.
Why so?
Because I can float and move between different islands, and if anyone gets in my way, violence will appear. But only if they get in my way. I come in peace at first.
Right.
That's the idea.
Okay. And our guest this episode is...
Tom Basden.
Oh, hey, thanks for coming, Tom.
No, not
no, thank you very much.
No, really appreciate it, Tom. How are you?
Fine. Fine,
David, do you want to talk about Tom Basden for 15 seconds?
Talk to me if you want.
Yeah, talk to
no,
you.
Talk about him.
Okay, talk about him.
Talk around me.
Well-known comedy figure, writer of... Oh, you are.
Don't
very
point
much.
At him.
Sorry, sorry, start that.
Don't
sorry.
Point at him.
Writer of many popular comedy shows... And appeared in the popular comedy troupe Cowards.
Yeah,
you do know he'll know everything about your career.
Well, you know, to a certain degree, I don't want to, you know, to.
Have you ever Googled Tom?
I have Googled Tom. Yes.
No, good. Get the numbers up,
man. It was just like, you know.
Say it. No one
said
it.
Absolutely.
No one ever
said
that.
So there's Cowards, and there's Party that was very big in Edinburgh, then on radio.
Yeah.
Did they ever do a TV pilot?
We made a pilot. Yeah.
God, that's a shame. I'm amazed it never sort of made
it. I'm amazed you didn't know that they made a pilot.
No, I didn't. Not at all.
Stop shouting.
Sorry, yeah, keep the volume low. You wrote on James Corden's spy comedy, didn't you?
The Wrong Man's, yeah.
Yeah.
That was its actual title, rather
The Wrong
James
Man's.
Corden's spy comedy.
Yeah, absolutely. I should remember it properly. If I go into HMV, I want to buy it type of thing.
Was it a spy comedy?
No, really, no.
Not really.
It's sort of agents. I guess it wasn't, was it?
No,
it
not
was,
at all.
Was it espionage more, or?
That's spying.
That is spying. The same thing, different words.
No, it was more of a thriller. It was more of a sort of Hitchcockian thriller.
A Hitchcockian thriller with a sprinkle of comedy in. That's a better description.
Yeah.
And Fresh Meat.
Yeah.
See, he does know. Go on, you
well,
do
it's
know
a lot of
lot,
impressive stuff we've done, hasn't it?
Can you name three things he hasn't done?
Didn't do Fawlty Towers. I can't give you that.
Not asking for a mate.
No, Alo, that was nothing to do with you.
No.
And Louis Theroux. I don't know about any
what a person.
Or
his TV work.
His TV work, which is generally
what
in
do you
life.
Mean, what do you mean he didn't? He's not involved in Louis Theroux's
Louis Theroux's fame and kind of success.
Not involved in any of
but
that.
Lots of other things.
Yeah.
No. I can't take credit for Louis Theroux. I wouldn't dream of doing that.
No, not that I thought you were in any sort of... sort of
no, but
clever
you
way.
Know, you've just got to be clear with this, isn't it?
What was it? It must be an interesting
welcome, Tom Basden.
Yeah, welcome,
please
Tom
just
Basden.
Relax
yeah, welcome, Tom
and
Basden.
Have a good time.
Please relax.
And please, if you need anything, just ask. Anything at all.
Okay.
A hot drink.
Criskets.
A little cake.
Criskets.
Anything.
Yeah.
We really just want you to have a good time.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tom.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you, Charles. That's Charles Petrescu
indeed.
There.
Indeed.
Our robot. Yeah, so let me set the scene. We're on the Yellow Brick Road this episode.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, wonderful. Wizard of Oz style.
Yes, is it not just... Yeah, we're in the Wizard of Oz land, so that's where we are. Can you explain?
In Oz.
In Oz, yes.
Wizard of Oz land is just Oz, isn't it?
I don't know.
They just call it Oz.
Okay. We're
I want to
which
see the Wizard
of Oz.
I'm comfortable calling it Oz.
Well, it says Australia, I guess, isn't it?
No,
it's
no,
never
not,
called Australia Oz.
It's not, it's not meant to be Australia in the film.
No.
There you go. Well, everything's been revealed to me.
Have you seen the film?
I have. I do know what you're saying, Wizard of Oz. Parallel universe, fantasy realm.
Yeah, we're in Oz. You're right. We are in Oz. Yes.
Literally in Oz.
What,
Dorothy
you,
and Co.
For the benefit of the listeners, can you explain what you can see around you, David?
I can see Technicolor colours all around me. So the clouds almost look like they've been painted on matte paintings that hover above us, and the Yellow Brick Road goes off endlessly into the distance.
Yeah.
Munchkins?
Yeah, there. I can hear them singing in the background. I haven't seen one quite yet.
No, they're hard to see, aren't they?
And lots of greenery surrounding us.
I get Munchkins
trees.
Mixed up with Oompa Loompas. Do you ever get that?
They're very similar, aren't they?
Are they similar?
They're small. They're all both small.
Are they orange?
Yeah, they're both overly colourful, kind of look to them. A sort of, you know, a sort of a meshing of different colours coming together. I don't mean that in a sort of socially political manner or anything like that.
So what was that, Charles?
Connotations there.
Humpalumpas.
Humpalumpas, yeah.
And Tom, what can you see in the world around you?
Well, I guess there's a sort of emerald glint in the distance, isn't
there? Yeah, well, that's where we're heading.
Yeah.
Excitement on the way.
Excitement in the distance.
Flying monkeys
circling
around.
It's a storyteller in you, isn't it?
Well, no, it's just... It's just the eagle-eyed bird watcher and me can sort of pick that out.
Yeah, we're headed. That's where we're heading. Yeah. So
shall we follow the yellow brick road?
No, there's another little path. Explain what the path looks like, David.
Well, this is more like a sort of John Reagan country file kind of path.
John who?
Reagan.
Craven.
Craven. You are quite right, sir. Kind of path.
Where John Reagan.
Reagan. Indeed, that's someone else, completely different.
Yeah.
80s president. I think a Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan was on my radar there. Here we go. Let's focus on it. Country file lane. So it's a bit dusty. You know, it's a bit kind of used, if you like. And there's an old wooden turnstile to go over.
Oh, lovely.
Turnstile.
I know. It's not going well with me on the vocab front.
Turnstile.
There we go.
Turnstile, sure.
And we're going to go off the Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a wander. A bit of a ramble, basically.
What's this path called? What's this road called?
This path is called the Badger Hill, basically. Badger Hill.
Right.
It goes off the yellow brick road, and
so it's not named after the colour of the path.
No, nothing like that. It could be called like the Brown Alley or inappropriate like that. Nothing inappropriate like that.
That's why they went for Badger Hill.
Yeah, it's Badger Hill. Nothing to do with colours.
Follow.
Stop.
Follow the Badger Road path.
Absolutely, up the hill.
Follow. Follow the Badger Road path.
Where I imagine a whole family of badgers live.
Follow the Badger Road path.
Badger, what's he saying?
Badger
Road path.
It doesn't go with the colour theme, but it's musical, which is key to the success of Wizard of Oz.
We had better watch out for the Wicked Witch, guys.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think she wanders around Badger Hill, so we should be okay.
Yeah, you might get mistaken for the Tin Man, Charles. I just thought of that.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so the first question, we've got a first question of the podcast, David.
Perfect.
For you. What's your dream job? It's that basic. What's your dream job?
My dream job right at the beginning of infancy, right now, to be a big Hollywood film director.
What, now?
Yeah, absolutely. Megaphone in hand. Megaphone in hand. A whole sea of people looking at me and lots of green screens.
Is it anything to do with the film you're creating, or is it about how people are...
I think originally I thought there was an artistic element about me, but I think more and more it's a control aspect, if we're going to really dissect it.
Right.
And it's just a megaphone, baseball cap, one of those seats that go up on an electronic arm. Do you know that lift up?
What?
Like
a crane?
Like a crane thing, basically. Michael Jackson sat on one during music
Okay, video. Editor, can you take us to some location? David, you're sitting on one of those cranes. Could we watch you go up in the air and sort of order people about?
Absolutely.
Here we go.
Morning, crew. It's good to see you all ready and waiting. Let's make it a productive day. There was a few tears yesterday, but that's Hollywood, and we got in the can what we wanted in the can, and that's key where we're going to be. As you can see, I'm almost like a hovering Kestrel. I can see what you're all doing, but what I really want to see is magic in that small little thing called a camera frame.
What film were you filming at the moment?
It's going to be a remake of Cleopatra.
Ooh.
With a
big budget.
Yeah, big budget. So we're recreating Egypt in Pinewood Studios.
Okay.
Which I think sounds exciting.
Quite a lot of responsibility on your shoulders there.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
A bit too much of that cake, but what can you do? Do you know what I mean? You've just got to get involved.
Well, don't say that in front of me.
Yeah, quite right.
Have you cast it?
I have cast it. I think for Cleopatra, kind of a Davina McCall type of, I don't know.
Yeah, something like that, a
bit sassy. I'd like her in it, perhaps not Cleopatra.
Right.
I think Cleopatra is something like Rachel Weisz.
Okay, and then Davina is like Cleopatra's sister.
Yeah, or like a sexy kind of like, I don't know.
Courtesan?
Oh, yes, that'd be a good idea. Yeah, I'd happily go with that. So she'd have a kind of like a sort of sexy cameo appearing.
Okay, thanks for that, David. So, but that's what you'd like to... Have you ever directed, Tom?
No.
I can imagine it's very stressful, the reality of it.
Yeah, very stressful.
Have you seen people become overly stressed by it whilst being on film sets?
Yeah, you see that kind of thing sometimes.
Yeah, do you want to know details?
I'd be interested. What are the usual triggers that outstress a director? They can't set the camera up or it's sort of...
No, that's usually someone else's responsibility. It'll be more like running out of time is the main one.
Time is your enemy on a film set. Sorry, apologies. So is it the sun's going down?
Yeah, famously.
You would have thought it would be a case of, with green screens being in vogue at the moment, where you can create anything in the background, just go to a studio where there's green screens. You wonder why people are worried about the sun now.
Yeah, I get, but then I suppose it depends what you're filming. Because if it's something where, like, if it's just outside a house, probably easier to go to a house.
This is very true. Yeah, it'd be a lot cheaper than getting loads of animators having to recreate a house in the background type of thing. But then you've got it being...
What would you put on a green screen, David?
Well, at the moment, a lot of pharaohs and slaves, Egyptians, you know, female slaves, as I mentioned earlier.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. What do the female slaves look like?
Similar to Princess Leia in Return of the Jedi, sort of golden bikinis, that type of element. Sort of might CGI on the metal afterwards because it'd be quite, you know, heavy, I imagine.
Heavy.
Heavy, indeed. The the shiny bikinis type of vibe. It's just a case of it's going to be historically correct, but you've got to make sure it's being designed for a wide target audience. Everyone's going to get something out of it.
Do you think it'd be make a good director, Tom?
It's hard to say, isn't it? I mean,
well, it's pretty easy to say, I reckon.
Well,
is there a compliment there?
No, I don't think so.
No.
No.
No, I think you could, but I think you make... Do you make films, David?
In my head, sometimes. I think, you know, this would be an interesting... This will be an interesting
scene. You remind me of me when Wimbledon's on. Because whenever Wimbledon's on, I watch the final and go, fucking hell, I've forgotten to practice because I'd really like to have a go in the final. But
no, I know
you never
mean.
Do anything about it.
You think you're 1 inch away from this parallel world.
Yeah.
Why you could be there with your baseball cap, cigar, megaphone, telling people what to
Wimbledon.
Do. Not Wimbledon. That would be, you know, tight white shorts and a racket and some oranges in between sets.
Sets. Right, Tom, have you got a question for David? Sorry. Unfortunately, I didn't prepare Tom, so he may not have it.
Just on the, I was going to ask you, what kind of person do you find creepy?
What sort of person would I find...
do you find creepy?
I tell you, immediately, somebody can't hold eye contact. You know what I mean? It's just like, wait a second, pal. I've told you a whole anecdote and you're still looking at the floor. You know, eyeball to eyeball.
But have you, do you know this person?
Well, you know...
See, I'm the opposite. I find, like, you holding my gaze creepy.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, I do look away every now and then if I'm thinking of... Or do I not?
No.
Do I sometimes just stay...
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. I think anything that's extreme... Like, I think anything is extreme is creepy. So if I shook someone's hand, they wouldn't let go of my hand.
That's definitely creepy.
Absolutely.
But I mean, for how long?
I don't know. I guess after a good solid minute, 60 seconds.
Do you think it would go on for so long that you might start to see the value in it?
Of, like, being connected to another human being?
Yeah, after, like, 4 minutes, you'd be like, oh, OK, this has changed.
I think maybe if I was lost and they were leading me somewhere and they had information geographically, there'd be this... But even then, once I'd found my way out of the London Underground, I want to go home. You know, we're not planning to start a marriage.
You've approached someone and said, how do I get out of here? And they've said, come on, you, grabbed your hand.
I thought they were shaking it to introduce themselves, but in actual fact, we're hand in hand starting a new life together. Do you know what I mean? These things can get out of control.
Yeah.
And so at that point, you've got to put your foot down and be in control.
That is creepy.
What, being led around by a stranger?
It's got dominating
behaviour. Yeah, very dominating, definitely. Yeah. That's how people get kidnapped, isn't it?
Is it?
That would be the beginning of it, I would have thought.
Right.
That would be certainly the first step towards it. That's what I'd be worried
grabbing
about.
Grabbing the hand.
Yeah, grabbing the hand and just not letting go.
And then the body follows.
Yeah, the rest of the body follows. You're not in control anymore. You've lost your individuality, haven't you?
Yeah.
Which is a terrible thing if that happens to anyone.
Anything else creepy?
What is the creepiest thing that has ever happened to you?
Wow! We've never had a Charles Petrescu question before. Can we have a little bed under that? Little sting or something, editor? Can you ask that again, Charles?
No.
One time. No.
No. Need. One...
No.
One... Say there's only one.
Simple as that.
No.
Didn't write it.
No. What was the question? What's the creepiest thing that's ever happened to you, David?
The creepiest thing that ever happened to me was my father's friend who he used to play badminton with, doubles badminton, but they're both in their 80s same now. Team. They've had to stop. They were in the same... Yes, they were in the same team.
Yeah.
It was somewhere in southern England. And it was Brighton. Sorry, put that away.
Yeah.
Brighton, something like that. And he picked me up outside Tesco's. And he drove me... he took a very bizarre... route back to Badger Hill style,
yeah.
Back to the actual house, and he said, "Listen, I'm just going to have to get out the car now. I can't remember what it was to get some cash or something."
Sorry, I missed the start of this. What?
Yeah, it's basically my
father's
dad's
badminton partner.
Badminton partner. I didn't really know him that well, and you know when it's like you get into it, you sort of think, "Do you play badminton with my dad?"
Oh, wait, so yeah, that could have been a charade.
Yeah, my memory wasn't quite in connection. And he got out the car because he was driving me home.
Where did he park? To his house?
Basically, he was driving me back to my house.
Yeah.
But
it's better have a good ending.
His actual, well, I don't know.
Or a bad ending would be fine.
To that degree.
Yeah, yeah.
But basically, the end of the day was, it was a case of, I was just standing in the car and I was like, in actual fact, I'm going to get out and just say I'm going to walk the rest of the way or something. I became quite uncomfortable with it.
Right.
But I couldn't open any of the doors. All of them were locked completely. Ooh, and then he came to the car and he got a bit stressed out.
What was that hand gesture?
Up and down like that, like calm down sort of thing. And then when he went to the car? To me. To me,
I thought he was rocking the car.
Oh, were you getting stressed in
the
car?
Yeah, I was. Sorry, I keep my voice down. Really sorry. Loud. Sorry.
What were you doing in the car to cause him to, you know?
Because he'd gone out to get some money.
Yeah, what were you doing in the car?
Trying to open the car.
Right, can we see what that looks like? Go.
Just jamming it there, jamming it here. There's no reason for you to keep me completely just locked in a car, like a bloody capsule prison or whatever. And I think he was telling me to calm down with his hand gestures. And then he then just opened it and stood back and he said, "Listen, it's not locked, it's fine." And I was just like, "Oh, I apologise, do you know what I mean?" But every time I went for it, it was completely locked.
But you were creeped out before you learnt it was locked.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know what it was. I was just going mad trying to get out type of thing. And then he just opened and said, "Listen, you know, just, you know, walk home if you want." And I said, no, it's fine. He goes, "No, I think I prefer if you did, really." And, it's a bizarre situation.
So you walked home.
Yeah, well, I said to him, "You go in there now and then you try and open it. I think there's some problem with the lock the other side."
He didn't say that.
I did, because I looked like a complete
idiot.
How old
were you?
I would have been... Oh, I was quite old. sorry, apologise. Sorry, my volume going out. Sorry. I was doing my A-levels.
You're doing A-levels?
I did a B-tech before then, so I was probably 19, sort of.
Right. Okay. You obviously don't want to offer up his name or anything.
No. I don't think I even remember his name, to tell you the truth.
Give him a name.
It would have been like a sort of a Kevin or Arthur, quite middle class.
Right. Creepy guy. Creepy Kevin.
Yeah, I think... As soon as that door opened, though, and he managed to open it, the creepiness just
evaporated.
Yes, I was like, clever, oh,
creepy
that's
little
good.
Kevin.
Creepy little Kevin.
And then it creepy little Kevin, yeah, it does work. And it's a case of, it was an element whereby, it's just like, after that, I just wanted to make a point that there was a problem with his car,
creepy
not with me.
Kevin, creeping around.
He was, though, he had that creepiness
about
him.
That's it, Charles.
But why had he stopped the car?
He had to get some money out.
Okay.
Creepy little Kevin. Creeping
random
around.
Random as well.
Hang on, it's Charles who's talking, mate.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, what was that, Charles?
I think you said it was creeping around.
Creepy
on all
little
fours.
Kevin. Creeping around on all fours.
Yeah. He certainly had that way around him. Like,
can you add another sentence to that, Charles? Can this continue? Creepy little Kevin. Creeping around on all fours. Sniffing. And one
dear
more.
Dear me, you
one
want
more?
Image?
We have one more. Creepy little Kevin, creeping around on all fours, sniffing, listening.
Sniffing and listening. He's
that's quite hard,
men.
Isn't it? It's quite hard to do that.
It is,
multitasking.
Yeah. God, I could do this for the rest of the episode. One more?
Please.
One more, Charles, and then we'll get
Tom's. Paint an image in our minds.
One more sentence. Creepy little Kevin, creeping around on all fours, sniffing, listening, whispering.
Ooh. Whispering.
Okay.
Is that possible to do that?
Can you try and do that, David? Listen, sniff, and whisper at the same time. Go.
Hello.
No.
You can't.
No, it's hard, isn't it?
No, it's not.
You can't do them at the exact same time.
Didgeridoo players can do that, can't they? They breathe in.
Yes.
They breathe in and out at the same time.
Yes, I'd love to have a didgeridoo
playing. Yeah, circular breathing.
Yes.
Blimey.
Maybe we can have a didgeridoo playing underneath your second question. Yeah. Oh, actually, where are we in Oz? What are we doing now? David.
Oh, you're talking to me. Sorry, I apologise.
It's not
I apologize.
Happening in Oz, is
it? No.
Follow.
Okay, what are we doing?
Follow the Badger Hill Lane.
Badger Hill Lane, thank you.
Can you see the flying monkeys?
Follow.
I can, they're circling
follow
around
the Badger
us.
Hill Lane.
It's quite dark now because we're surrounded by oak trees and branches. We've left the kind of Technicolor vibe.
Yeah.
And this is more the outskirts.
Right.
You know, where if you're a homeless man, you know, kicked out by your family, this is where you probably live.
Right.
I think I can see the scarecrow.
Oh, yeah. Familiar you? Face.
Wow. Okay, so here's a question from a listener, David. If you were a ghost, who would you haunt? And that's from Paul Reeve. If you were a ghost, who would you haunt?
If I was a ghost, I think I would... I think there'd be people at school that have crossed me in some manner that I'd come back as some kind of ghoul. I tell you what, who I probably would haunt as a proper poltergeist. I've worked in retail a few times, and I find the managers there very control hungry.
Right.
And I'd certainly like to reappear as some kind of religious, you know...
In the workplace or at home?
Yeah, do you know, in the workplace, I was thinking about going to their home, but I think, you know, Blockbuster Videos doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately.
Is that who's...
You could be the ghost of Blockbuster Videos.
Wow. Yeah, no, I could do. I could haunt. I think it's... I don't know what it is now. I don't know what it's
would
become.
Would you write that?
Or something.
Would you try and sell that to...
What, so Blockbuster Videos...
The ghost of Blockbuster Videos.
It's a ghost.
Would you be able to sell that to a
haunting,
channel
like, the Netflix offices or something like that?
Oh, that's even better.
Ooh, you woke it up.
Yeah, I think that's got real legs.
That's it. Do you think you could sell that to a channel, Tom?
I don't know. I mean, probably for legal reasons, you'd have to sell it to Netflix.
Right.
I don't think anyone else would be able to take it.
Yeah. David, could you pitch it? Imagine Tom's like a commissioner.
Well, I've come up with this new idea. Thanks for deciding to meet me as well. Basically, it's very much an idea that's got the finger on the pulse, mm-hmm. and I think this is what the kids are going to really get into. Mm-hmm. And it's the notion that a man used to work at Blockbuster Videos. But unfortunately, because of an accidental death, I haven't decided upon that now. It could either be got hit by a bus, choked on some food, some scampi or something.
Yeah.
But he's no longer alive. He doesn't exist anymore. He then returns back to Earth but as a ghost, a ghoul.
Yeah.
And the actual Blockbuster Video office has been turned into a Netflix HQ.
Right.
Wears the Blockbuster outfit still.
Yeah.
The sort of tennis top with the Blockbuster gold ticker on the chest.
Yeah.
And he hovers everywhere.
Doesn't walk.
Doesn't walk whatsoever. And he can magically produce DVDs out of his pockets.
Wow, that's quite handy.
Yeah, very handy. Pretty handier than Netflix type of thing. And he knows what films people want to watch. You can see into their soul.
Right.
And he's constantly...
You're going to call Blockbusters.
Yes, quite right, yeah. It's got that vibe to it.
So he sounds like a beneficial ghost.
Yeah. Only to a certain degree.
Okay.
He does, where he can, bring all the projects to an end.
Oh, wow.
So, for instance...
What do you mean all the projects? What, all the Netflix?
Yeah, all the Netflix projects. So... he'll start playing around with databases so the budgets don't make sense.
Oh,
they can't green light anything. All the computer algorithms that work out what people want to watch at home.
Right, so he's like a hacker.
Yeah, he's like a hacker type of thing.
Yeah.
So he'll hover around.
And hack.
And also, like Blockbusters, he can... do you know they used to put the DVDs through the... letterboxes.
Netflix can move through
letterboxes like that.
Oh,
that's
really?
How he moves between. I've just come up with that. As talking about that, I don't know if it works.
I ain't afraid of no ghost DVD.
Sorry, Charles. What was that, Charles?
I ain't afraid of no ghost DVD.
Yes, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What do you mean that would be perfect?
Perfect is what?
It's like a slogan on a t-shirt or a mug and things like that to sell to the
quite
kids.
Quite a long slogan for a t-shirt. What was it? I ain't afraid of what?
I ain't afraid of no ghost DVD. So, yeah.
Yeah. What's the guy's name?
The guy's name is Phil. He's a very average, chap, and he just wants to earn his cash like everyone else by renting DVDs. But Netflix has swung in and just made him redundant.
Yeah.
You know, financially and spiritually, you know, just a dead ghost just wandering around.
Sounds like a winner.
Sounds like a winner.
Well, I thought so, and that's why I'm here pitching it.
Yeah. Well, let's see what Tom has to say.
I think it's an interesting idea. I guess I've got a few sort of concerns about it.
Oh, really?
Well, I guess it suggests that we at Netflix we'd be making a show which is in some way about people trying to destroy our projects.
Yeah, I know you're saying. I think it would be a case of, but Netflix will always come out on top at the end.
Okay. So this guy. So we're not rooting for this guy.
No, he'd be banished to hell each time, and everyone can sit down and watch The House of Cards, you know. And
so every episode is banished to hell at the end.
Yes, and then he'll come back, though. He'll find a route back in.
Okay.
They'll think, oh, thank God the bloody poltergeist's gone.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you'd start seeing a saucer, a China saucer, up in the air and smash against a, you know, a photo of Stranger Things or something. Yeah. It's like, oh, Christ, he's back.
Phil's back.
You know, yeah, he's going to start, you know, causing chaos, basically.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm trying to think how confident I am about this as an idea. I think there needs to be more twists, maybe.
Well,
it seems.
Maybe if I'm not rooting for Phil from Blockbuster, then maybe, I mean, should there be a sort of Netflix exec like me who'd be the main part that you're rooting for, who's like a sort of, you know, your kind of hero?
Yes, absolutely. He's called Nick. He's got a family to look after. He's got a lot of financial baggage.
Right.
So he's really got to, you know, if Netflix sinks, his whole family sinks. So he's got to take on this supernatural force from Blockbusters.
Yeah.
And make him realise it ain't the 90s anymore, pal. Things have moved on.
Don't talk like that in a meeting.
Sorry, absolutely.
Not in a meeting.
No, you're quite right. Keep it corporate and conservative.
Yeah.
But you're right. As you've spoken about it, Phil's very much the nemesis.
Yes.
He's He-Man's... What did He-Man have?
Skeletor.
Yeah. He's Skeletor. Netflix is He-Man. That's the kind of focus we've got.
I see. Okay, well, I'm warming to it now.
Well, I can see why.
Wow.
I think there's a clear focus there.
Yeah. Wow. And who have you got in mind to play Nick?
Someone likeable.
Yeah.
Someone we've... I think someone like David Jason almost, like a likeable kind of chap.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Sort of like he's
Do you know David Jason in between takes? He's got a problem with his esophagus. So he does a lot of belching now in between takes.
Well, as long as it's not during the filming, the main thing.
But did you take that on board?
I guess, you know, he attracts a wide target audience, though, doesn't he?
What?
David Jason.
But think about the problem. But imagine acting with him and he's in between takes.
I know, it would be ideal, the constant
burping.
Like Del
Boy, you looked up to and you loved. Suddenly he's...
Yeah, but hang on, but you're saying it's a problem with his esophagus. He's not just choosing to burp and rodders his face.
Burp. What was that, sorry?
He's not like... This isn't a sort of... technique to undermine Lyndhurst's confidence, is it?
No. This is a proper.
Do you know what I mean?
Problem.
It wouldn't be ideal.
And I heard that John Cleese, when he did Hold the Sunset, before it was maybe a difficult shoot because before every bit of dialogue, he'd have to go. Sorry, he'd have to go, and then deliver his line.
Really?
To breathe in.
Yeah, well, I'm not. Like, I mean, we're breathing in, but we're not
doing
that.
What, to deal with anxiety?
I know. I imagine there's a problem with his lungs or something.
I prefer that than the burping.
Right.
I mean, definitely. The burping would make you feel nauseous.
Have you got another question, Tom? Sorry.
No. In general? Are we moving on from the...
Yeah, we moved on from
the... You don't want an answer?
Well, actually, not bothered, but is it a yes or a no?
It's a yes.
Oh, yes!
Hang on.
Right.
Subject to David Jason being attached.
Why? Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can see why, because he really would be the cherry on the cake, wouldn't he?
I think he's the cake.
Yeah, it's the entire thing. Quite right.
He's the entire cake. Have you got a question, Tom? Sorry, I'm going to.
Let's go. What about what would be? This is sort of following on from the David Jason sort of question, I suppose. What would be your perfect male face, made up of lots of different people's individual bits.
I know for certain that you're going to... One celebrity you're going to come up with.
But you can't just use one person's face. You've got to give me, like, eyes and nose and... Cheers. Like, it's a collage.
Yep, OK, not a problem at all. I would go for the rock-like chin of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Not the Rock.
Not the Rock. Not Dwayne White.
Johnson.
Johnson. Get that right. I definitely have, yeah, the chiselled rock of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Chiselled rock?
It's not chiselled. Sorry, I apologise. Chiselled chin.
Take your time.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm trying to think. I've got a lot of
20
men
minutes.
Hovering okay. around in my head right now. I'm trying to think, oh, I'll have that from you, that from you. So that's a very good question, though. It's
you're
a very
stumped. I've never seen you
I know, there's
stumped.
Almost like too much. You know, you come to a buffet, a wedding.
Let me fire
and there'll be some men you've never seen.
Ready? Eyes.
Eyes.
Quick.
Roger Moore with his eyebrows.
Nose.
Certainly. Nose.
Quick.
I'd have Ryan Gosling's nose.
Lips.
Terry Wogan's lips.
Why?
Absolutely. Because his ability to communicate, his smile.
You don't get his accent, I don't think.
Oh, that'd be a shame.
You're very good at doing a Terry Wogan impression, aren't you?
I don't think. I've never tried one before.
Well, should we ever listen?
Hello, my name's Terry Wogan. Welcome to the show. No. Sorry about that. I don't know why I had a moment of confidence
ears.
Then. Ears would be Jackie Chan's ears.
Can't think what they look like.
No, they look fantastic. He's had
it
in a ponytail many
times. Is that racist?
No, because I'm celebrating him. So it can't be racist if you're celebrating.
Why would it be racist anyway?
I don't know. What is he? Chinese? Japanese?
Chinese, yeah.
Haven't they got funny ears?
I don't think so. I think they're
no,
same
not.
As sort of shell-like.
Someone
tell
me Japanese ladies have they got flat bottoms?
Flat bottoms?
I don't think so. Full metal jacket. You've got lots of women wandering around in tight skirts.
They
seem very oval. Vietnam.
Yeah. I imagine they're not.
I'm geographically lost there.
I imagine they're not as curvy as some people somewhere.
It's all to do with diet, I think.
Is it?
I'd have thought so.
So let me get this straight.
Okay, here we go.
Chin of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mm. Eyes of Roger Moore. Nose of Ryan Gosling. Lips of Terry Wogan. Ears of Jackie Chan.
Hair?
The lips of who?
So let me get this straight.
Oh.
The chin of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Correct.
Eyes of Roger Moore. Nose of Ryan Gosling. Lips of Terry Wogan. Ears of Jackie Chan.
So, do you know what?
I've got hair. Hair. Give us.
Oh, hair. Oh, quick hair.
Harrison Ford.
I knew he was going to come. I knew it.
That lovely quiff.
You like him, don't you?
And that brown hair.
He's
like a side parting and a little kind of move over.
Is that a quiff?
A move over.
I think it's a.
Can I have a move over, please?
Yeah, Harrison, move over, please.
So we've got about 5 minutes. So, Tom, David gets an opportunity to ask a guest one question. It's
Great.
A golden question section.
Absolutely. I was going to say, when it comes to family holidays, mm-hmm. as in memories of a child family, are they blissful nostalgia
yeah.
or dysfunctional disaster?
Wow. It
has to be either or.
I have. Sorry?
It has to be either or.
Yes, you can't have a mixture of the
bit
two.
Of both. Okay, I would say it's blissful nostalgia in that
case.
Oh,
lovely.
But we go to the same place every year, you see. We go to Cornwall every year for 6 weeks growing up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Six weeks?
Cornwall,
well,
that's
my
nice.
Parents are teachers, so big holidays, isn't it?
Ah, whereabouts in Cornwall?
A place called Pentuan in Mavagissi.
And what do you remember doing together? Just sort of...
Hanging out on the beach. Going
that's
out
good.
Swimming.
What's your angle here, David?
What's my... I don't know, it's a case
of... Did you have shit holidays?
Yeah, we went caravanning a lot of the time. It was all right. It was quite a small caravan. Only one person could stand at a time type of thing. That was one of the rules.
What?
Health
what
and safety.
Rules?
Yeah, it was.
What, your dad would... Really?
Well, yeah, I think rightly so, because, I mean, it was very small.
But it was small, you mean it was small lengthways? There was only one area that was tall enough for you to stand up in.
It was.
Was that a sunroof?
Wise, I think there was a sort of. There was a sunroof there, but it was a very small one. It was only the size
so
of a dinner
where
plate.
You could stand.
That was the only place you could probably stand. And then that, it was just a case of it wasn't very even. If there was two people standing at the same time, it would be a bit... I mean, he got a promotion quite soon after that, and we got a larger caravan.
Yeah.
And that was a lot more civilised.
Mm, right.
But I don't remember... I think as the caravans got better, it was a more normal setting.
Mm.
But before we had a caravan, we used to go everywhere in a tent, and that was pretty horrific. Just the constant dampness.
Right. Go yeah. everywhere in a tent.
Not like shopping or visiting friends. It'd only be like twice a year.
Yeah, and you wouldn't travel in the tent.
No, you wouldn't
not at all. That'd be in the boot of the car. You'd get it out later.
Yeah.
And then put it out.
I love the idea of you shooting down a motorway in a tent.
Oh, God, flipping it. Yeah, well, why not?
Swear.
No,
don't
quite
swear.
Right. Leave the swearing at home. Wow. So it's up there, but I'm glad, you know, mine perhaps weren't great, but yours were. Yeah.
Well,
that's how life works out.
In a caravan.
They were in a caravan.
Yeah, also in a caravan, yeah.
Was it quite a large one?
I think, I mean, compared to your caravan, I think it was palatial. I mean, we were standing up willy-nilly.
All of you at the same time?
All of us.
Oh, there you
all
go. So it can happen.
Yeah.
It's a democracy. Just stand up whenever you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's how my dad ran the house.
Very different man to mine.
Lovely dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Freedom. Wow. Freedom of choice.
Yeah.
Which is a key thing to have, isn't it? When you're on holidays, where you will relax.
In general.
Yeah.
Yeah, in general.
Yeah,
quite
just stand when you want.
No family arguments
we're,
then.
We're approaching the emerald. This has got no story to it, this episode, but we're approaching the emerald.
Shall we go and find the Wizard of Answers?
The Wizard of who?
Answers?
Shall we go and find the Wizard of Answers?
The Wizard of Answers?
Okay. I guess so.
Okay.
He sounds better than the Wizard of Answers.
Okay, so we're
certainly does.
So, could you explain
the Wizard of Who's?
Wizard of Ooze. Can you explain where we're entering, David?
We are entering into the back of the Emerald Castle. It's not the front.
Yeah.
So it's like a car park, a security code to get in the back, sort of the industrial side of it.
Okay, so I'm opening the door now.
Yeah, absolutely. Tradesman's entrance. This is where the real business happens.
Right.
Hello, is anyone there?
Yes, hello.
Oh, wow! Now we're cooking on gas.
Hello, who are we talking to?
Anthony.
Anthony?
Anthony.
Anthony.
Is that Wizard Anthony?
Don't think so.
Anthony Pearl.
Anthony Pearl.
Okay. And what's your function here, Anthony Pearl?
Yeah, what's your role?
I am the assistant.
Ah!
Of course you are.
Could we be introduced to the wizard then? I imagine.
Please?
Yeah,
I am afraid
please.
The wizard is away.
Wizard is away? Oh, okay.
Well, can you answer any questions or...
On his holiday.
On his holiday.
On his holiday.
Okay. Can you, David, just ask if we can ask you questions?
Can we Skype him?
We can Skype him.
This is true. This is the internet age.
No.
Okay.
So that really is just a massive anticlimax. We've come all the way down Badger Hill, and he's just not here. I'm not being rude. I'm just saying that's just what's happened,
is
isn't
there
it?
Is there anyone who sort of fills in?
Sorry, I can't help.
Yeah, Thomas just asked, is there anyone that fills in? Anyone else can...
Please? No, I can't help.
Oh, wow, Anthony.
Very abrupt. Well, I guess, thanks for your time. I guess that's it.
Can we ask a question and just leave it with you? Leave it with the wizard when he gets
please?
Back?
I have told you, I could not help.
Not even like a post-it note, put on his desk and then get back to
and
us?
And then just sort of leave an email address?
No, please.
Absolutely no. Right, okay, that's fair enough. No, that's fair enough.
Please.
You've got your job.
Oh, come on, mate. Let's ask one question. We've like David.
Hey, don't push him.
Whoa!
Oh, watch where you put your hands, pal.
Yeah, we've travelled a long way to come here to bloody.
Please, no.
Oh.
I can't help.
No, you're touching
get
me
out.
Again now. That's
go
too much.
Back.
What?
Go back.
Go back.
Go back to where we belong. Oh, wow.
When's he back? When's the wizard back? Is it worth waiting?
Tuesday.
He's back on Tuesday.
That is a long time away, isn't it? That's almost a week.
Yeah.
So he's maybe got a bit of a point. Well, can we come back on the weekend? Like on
so
the...
come back then, okay?
Okay.
Will you be less rude then? Different attitude?
Where's the wizard gone?
Please, no.
Is the wizard gone to our reality on holiday? We could try and find him here when we go back.
Yeah.
That would be a lot easier for us.
Please. Please go. Please just go away.
Okay. All right. We're going to leave now and head back. So that's the end of the podcast. It's a bit of a flat ending.
We're very flat. Got absolutely nowhere. Didn't even invite us in and gave us like a tour of the HQ.
No.
Yeah. That would have been enough.
David's listening.
I'm sorry. Apologies.
I enjoyed the walk.
Yeah. No, it was a nice walk.
Yeah, that's true. You've got to look at the positives.
Waste
and the walk
time.
Was nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the time you just go away for a nice walk.
Yeah, that's
not
true.
Even expect to meet the wizard at the end of it.
Yes, I think we're expecting too much, maybe.
Yeah.
Hey, here is a picture of the wizard.
Oh.
Oh, that's quite... Is it autographed?
No.
No. There we go. That's fair enough. I'm just asking. I'm not expecting.
Can we? Do we get to keep it, or just you're going to show it to
Please
us?
Leave now.
Right, OK, no.
God, daisy tease.
Really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Please.
Right, OK, we're officially leaving now. We're walking down the path.
Back up the hill and then
I
home
I guess
time.
It is.
Yeah. OK.
And then just go home. Well, anti-climax.
Thanks, Tom, for getting involved. You've had a thoroughly good time with us.
How? You're asking the telling.
I'm asking the question.
Yeah. It has been good. I mean, we didn't get what we came here for, but that's life, isn't it? You just got to embrace the reality of it.
Well, David, thanks for getting involved.
Always no, to... thanks to Tom coming along. Sorry, yeah, keep the volume down.
Thank you to James, the editor.
Thank you.
And to Charles Petrescu.
Follow the yellow road home.
Yes. Oh,
that's true. We could take the yellow brick.
Yeah, let's take
do
the
loop.
Yellow brick.
Get some
road.
Sights.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, everybody, and I'll see you on the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was a Mr. Box production.